The conversation then, although it is about death, is not a conversation that can in any way do away with death, deny death, undermine the reality of death. It is only a conversation that can cure the fear of death by representing death in such a way that it is not in any way something that will undermine or disqualify life. And indeed, if we go back now and read the conversation throughout the dialogue in this light, we will see that, as a matter of fact, the dialogue is, although it is a conversation about how to die, really, in fact, a conversation about how to live. The conversation is a conversation about the mode of philosophical death, which in fact constitutes the activity of detachment and cleansing and purification, the separation of the philosopher from an overconcern with the body and an overconcern, therefore, with the sight and place of mortality. A detachment and purification and cleansing that allows him to see the world aright. And in seeing the world aright, as I urged last time, in learning to love it. In this sense, to understand the immortality that is being argued for in the Phaedo is to understand immortality in the sense of living fully in the moment. That is, to understand the immortality that comes through being fully alive. Other philosophers and other religious figures, in addition to Socrates and Plato, have repeatedly argued that immortality is a quality of the nature of our life. Human immortality is not some mode of living forever, but rather of living in our lives in such a way that death does not disqualify or undermine or make meaningless the actual force of our lives. Plato's view is that to live this way is to live philosophically, and that means, on his understanding, to accept one's finitude, living each moment fully. And in doing so, if one lives each moment fully, one's death does not undo one's life. One's death cannot undermine the full force of one's life. And that's indeed what Socrates says that he wants from his students at the end. When Simmias and Cebes at the end of the dialogue ask him, actually it's another young man who's there, Crito, who says to him, "Very well, Socrates, but have you no directions for the others or myself about your children or anything else? What can we do to please you best?" Socrates responds as follows, "Nothing new, Crito, just what I am always telling you. If you look after yourselves, whatever you do will please me and mine and you too, even if you don't agree with me now. On the other hand, if you neglect yourselves and fail to follow the line of life as I have laid it down both now and in the past, however fervently you agree with me now, it will do no good at all." "But we shall try our best to do as you say," said Crito. "But how shall we bury you?" "Any way you like," replied Socrates. "That is, if you can catch me and I don't slip through your fingers." He laughed gently as he spoke. Now, the laugh here, I think, is about the fact that Socrates understands that he is going to be buried, but also understands that his life cannot be buried with him. His life has merely come to an end, but it has not been, as it were, undone. To flee from death, on the other hand, to have fantasies about immortality as an ultimate conquering of death, is to flee into its arms. For when we refuse to live through our lives, that is, when we refuse to die each day to our lives and be resurrected through the grace of God into the next moment of our lives, we die in our lives. When we are willing to die to each stage of our lives, to accept our finitude, we are then immortal in the sense that death is merely the end of our lives. Sad, but not something that invalidates what our lives have been. For there is no escape, on Plato's view, finally, from the finitude that requires the death of people. And at the end of the dialogue, we see this clearly, for we find Crito closing the mouth of Socrates and closing his eyes. And the narrator ends the dialogue by saying, "Such was the end of our comrade. Such was the end." And the Greek word here is the same word as meaning, "and so died our comrade, who was, we may fairly say, of all those whom we knew in our time, the bravest and the wisest, and the most upright, that is, the most just of human beings.